Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I said it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Somebody just say amen.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but and I'll tell you a little bit about our story and testimony in just a moment, but you know, through COVID, you understand what is a blessing when you don't have what you didn't appreciate that you had. And when you can't come to church and you can't preach the gospel except to my three kids and wife and two dogs, amen, and they tired of hearing me, then you appreciate being in the house of the Lord a little bit more, amen. And so I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm back in church. Amen. And so thankful, so appreciative for the opportunity. I mean, no, it's an opportunity. It's a privilege. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. Amen. It's a privilege and an honor to be in the house of God. Amen. To be in the house of worship, to be able to come in and worship the Lord together. Amen. Now, it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. You can still worship God in your car by yourself, at home with your family. It's good. But ain't nothing like being in the midst of people beside you. When one shouts, then you shout, and then they shout, and then one runs, and another runs, and one praises, and you praise, and then and all of a sudden it just echoes, you know what I'm saying? A ripple effect. Anybody know what that means? Amen. You put a rock in the water. How many ever threw a rock in the water? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm by myself. Amen. How many ever threw a rock in the water? Anybody ever know what a rock is? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Help me out this morning. And so the ripple effect. Amen. And so once you throw that rock in the water, you can see the effect of that rock even long after. Amen. I said long after that rock done sank to the bottom. Amen. You can still see the ripples. It's something to be in God's house, because what the Holy Ghost does in you in the house of God, there's ripple effects coming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll be already home, but there's ripple effects of what the Spirit of God will do in you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Say something being in the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so don't miss out what God has. And one man said this, there's some things that are taught, but there's some things that are caught. And you can't catch what you can catch being here. You can't catch it out there not being here. You have to be in the service to catch something. Not just that, what if the Lord wanted to give you a word of knowledge? Well, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. So it's something about being God's house. I'm glad I'm in God's house. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to preach today on the subject of rejoicing. And so I'm going to try to give you everything I got as quick as I can. Is that all right? Amen. So I hope these guys can fly with putting scriptures up if they don't mind. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified just to let you know in case you need to get ready. But go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 15, 13. And while you're turning there, while they're putting that up, I just want to send my regards or my wife's regards. She just wanted to say she misses you guys. She loves you guys. She appreciates you guys. And she tried to work it out with her work so she could be off. Well, needless to say, it wouldn't work out. Praise the Lord. And so she is at home with the children and she has to work at night. And so praise God for a job. Amen. And so she's working and so she sends her regards. I talked to her this morning. She just said, I wish I could be there. I love to come there to Evansville. So, you know, my wife, you know, Brother Dale Begley is my father-in-law. Don't hold it against me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And no, it's pretty amazing, though. You know, they live in Oklahoma and of course, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, they got 6 inches of snow and they were -6 degrees. And the snow just came across here, of course, in Nashville. My pastor in Nashville, they were shut down for 10 days as well. They're having service finally this morning, but none of it touched Georgia. Praise the Lord. If you want God's country, come on down. We'll help you. Amen. Nah. But anyway, we didn't have any ice or any snow. Praise the Lord. It's just cold. But thank God for that. Amen. So I'm glad y'all are in church this morning, though. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Do you have it? Amen. Amen. Let's read out of the Amplified Version. It says, Now the God of hope fill you, everybody say that word. Fill you with what? Next word. All. No, no. After with. What's after the word after with? All. Everybody say all. Everybody say all. Everybody say all. What is after all? Nothing. No, 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 no. What you dealing with all. Not stop right there. Amen. What's after all? There's nothing else after all. It means everything's included. All. All is all. All is nothing left, nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. That's peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. But all means all. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Your God, my God of hope, fills us with all joy and peace. Watch what he says. In believing. Everybody shout believing.
Believing.
He fills us with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. I know you preach faith here. I know your pastors preach faith here. So I know you're full of faith. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't like to use their faith because it's a challenge. And you have to use your faith to overcome situations, circumstances, tests, trials, temptations, all of that. But in believing or in using your faith, he's trying to tell you, in the process of that, he's going to fill you with all joy and peace. And so when you don't want to use your faith and you don't want to trust God or believe God, just remember, as you're believing in God, as you're believing in his word, he's going to fill you with all joy. Somebody just say, ha, 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 ha. Amen. He's going to fill you with all joy and all peace. Can I see your pearly whites today? Everybody got them? If you don't have them, they make them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway. But all joy and peace in believing. Watch what he says. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. How are you going to get through it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so here we find that if you are in true believing, or if you're in true faith, there always is an element of joy. There's always an element of joy. If you're praying about something, you're saying, Lord, I believe you and I'm trusting you to provide for me, but I just don't know. That's not faith. Because believing in true faith is saying, thank you, Lord, that you said that you would supply all of my need according to your riches, your riches, your riches. What's your riches? Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, diamond doorknobs. Come on, somebody. We don't need a whole street. I just need a little block of gold. Amen. And so your riches in glory through Christ Jesus, you're supplying all of my need. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care if a dog brings me a paper sack full of $100 bills on my front porch. It don't matter. It's coming my way. Somebody just say amen. Amen. It's happened to me before when I've been in Walmart. Me and my wife was shopping. Somebody come up to you and said, how you doing, Brother Jody or Pastor Jody, whatever he said. I said, I'm doing good. I have no idea who he is. He reached out his hand. I reached out my hand. He gave me a handshake. Well, I knew there was a Pentecostal handshake. Something transferred from his hand to mine. Hallelujah. It wasn't a blue light special. Kmart done gone. It was a hallelujah Holy Ghost special in the middle of Walmart. Anybody know what I'm saying? But he's going to supply all of your need, and there's an element of joy when you're in true believing or true faith. Anybody with me this morning? Listen. Faith is real. I got to cover a lot of stuff, so you'll probably have to go back and listen to this to get everything. Faith is real, but watch this. Faith is a choice. Amen. Believing is real, but believing is a choice. Listen, rejoicing is real, but rejoicing is a choice. Joy is real, but joy is a choice. But watch this. Peace is real, but peace is a choice as well. We all choose, the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But you all have choices. We all have choices. We choose what we want to do. We choose what we want to think about. We choose what we want to say. We choose where we want to go. We choose our attitude. We choose whether we want to be in peace or whether we want to be in joy. Somebody say, well, you don't understand. No, 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 no. You choose. You have the power of choice. That's what God has given us. And so this choice of choosing joy or rejoicing is not based on outward circumstances. You cannot be moved by outward circumstances, what's on the inside of you. And so we're going to talk about that. What does this word rejoice mean? I'm glad you asked. Amen. If you're taking notes, you can put down this definition. Rejoice. It means to brighten up. Brighten up. Rejoice means to brighten up. It means to cheer up. Look at your neighbor right now, somebody behind you, in front of you, beside you, say, cheer up. I know there's snow on the ground. Cheer up. I know it's 27 degrees. It don't matter. Cheer up. I said, cheer up. Rejoice. He said to cheer up. But listen, it's a choice. But watch this, watch this, watch this. So if I'm going to choose to rejoice, if I'm going to choose to cheer up, if I'm going to choose to be glad, then I have to choose to not be sad. So I have to say, I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be sad. I choose to rejoice. I choose to brighten up. I choose to cheer up. Somebody say, you too happy for me. All right, but let some of it run up on you. Amen. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Cheer up. Brighten up. Rejoice. It's a choice. You choose if you want to be cheerful. You choose if you want to be sad. You choose. But listen, you can't choose for somebody else. But what you can do is you can be the instrument that affects somebody else. Because your cup runs over. So when your cup runs over, guess what? It sloshes on somebody else. So if you're full of joy, you're full of cheer, you're full of rejoicing, then somebody else gonna start rejoicing. You know, I can get you to laugh right now, right? Why? Even though it's fake as a $3 bill, it still calls you to do something. Why? Because I choose to rejoice. So my choice affects other people around me. So I have to choose. Listen, everything the Lord tells us requires a response. Everything the Lord tells us requires a response. Everything. Salvation requires a response. Healing requires a response. Blessing requires a response. Everything the Lord tells us in His Word requires a response. If you don't respond, listen, you don't have it. Why? His Word says, be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer of the Word. He's wanting a response. And so knowing is not doing it. We know a lot of stuff. We already know this right here that I'm preaching on this morning. But guess what? Are we doing it? Because it doesn't matter if you know it. If you're not doing it, you need to re-know it. Rehear that. Amen. Again. Amen. Because you're not doing it. So you got to cheer up. Somebody just say, cheer up. We need to be like children. I have a 5-year-old. We have an 18-year-old. This is a senior in high school. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you've heard this. Let me just brag on him just for a second. Amen. He's a football lineman. He's started 2.5 years at his high school. Got 17 offers, and now he's signed to go play college football. He's so excited. Most importantly, I'm so excited because he led his team this year, and they called him Pastor. So he's got a sweatshirt that says Pastor across of it because he prayed after every practice. They asked him to pray after every game. And then he brought a kid to our house one day. I can tell you later about this, but he brought a starting linebacker to our house one day because he asked him about the Holy Ghost. He said, Dad, I don't know what to say. I said, bring him to the house. I'll meet you there. And so he brought him to the house and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, starting linebacker on our team this year. Amen. As a senior. And so I'm just telling you, I'm super proud of him spiritually, but I'm super proud he's getting to live his dream playing football in college. Amen. So anyway, so I got an 18-year-old, I got a 15-year-old, but then we got a 5-year-old. Praise the Lord. She's finally in kindergarten. Hallelujah. All three of them's in school. Amen. So our 5-year-old, she's just a child. But you know, she gets up, man, she gets up happy. Tamma's like, she brightens my day just when she wakes up. Like, I'll go in there and say, Grayson, it's time to get up. Hey, Dad. I mean, that's how she wakes up just like that. I'm like, hallelujah. I don't know how this happened. But it's like little children. You know, a commercial will come on and she'll like that song, whatever commercial it could be. I don't know. It could be a toys. It could be anything. But then all of a sudden, she just starting to dance and move, right? And so we become too adult, sanctified. But children, they just bust a move when they hear a song. It don't matter if they hear it in a grocery store. They'll embarrass you right there in that aisle. Amen. And so we need to become more like children and just rejoice. Why are we so uptight? Why are we so uptight about everything? Why are we disgruntled about everything? Listen, God is still on the throne. God has not forgotten about us. What are you upset about? It didn't go your way. So what? It didn't go Jesus' way either. I mean, they crucified him. You think that went his way? Well, anyway, praise the Lord. I got to hurry. Amen. And so children just bust a move at the sound of music. Can I tell you? We need to rejoice. At a drop of a hat, we need to rejoice. We hear some praise and worship music. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's been so good to me. But see, we put our mind to it and we're thinking, well, let me see if anybody else moves before I do. Well, guess what? You're going to still be sitting there 20 years later. Amen. So be the leader, not the follower. Amen. And so rejoice in the Lord. We got to do it. James 1:2. If you put that up, I got to hurry. Amen. James 1:2. I got a lot to cover today. Praise the Lord. James 1:2. Do you have it? Say amen. Now the Amplified says this. Now the God of... Oh, that's not it. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's not the Amplified. But let me tell you what the Amplified says. The Amplified says holy. Do you have the Amplified in that? James 1:2. James 1:2. It says holy joy. Whole joy. Listen to what this other translation said. I like the Weiss translation. This is what it says. I'll break this down for you. It says, be constantly rejoicing. Listen to this. Consider it a matter for unadulterated joy. Listen. When you fall into the midst of variegated trials which surround you. Count it all joy. I say count it all joy. So watch this. Maybe you're smarter than me, but anyway, I have to break this down so I can understand it. It says, be constantly rejoicing. Amen. Well, I got two people on the front row. Amen. Be constantly rejoicing. Anybody say hallelujah? Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to do it. We just can't hear it. Amen. Be constantly rejoicing. This is what he said. Consider it a matter for unadulterated joy. Well, I didn't know what unadulterated means. Maybe you did. Praise the Lord. Don't condemn me. Amen. So unadulterated, this is what it means. Not mixed or diluted with any different or extra elements, complete and absolute. What does that mean? I don't need nothing else to give me joy. God all by himself. All of God, all of the Word, all of the Holy Ghost gives me full, whole, pure, complete joy. You know what that means? That means like you're buying a drink and they say added preservatives. I don't need no added preservatives for somebody else to make me happy. I'm happy all with God and God with me. Amen. Whole joy complete within God. Nothing added, nothing else needed, just God all by himself. He makes me happy. Why? Because I once was lost. But now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank God Almighty, I'm saved. I'm redeemed. He pulled me out of the miry clay. See, we forgot where we come from. He pulled us out of sin. He pulled us out of darkness. He pulled us out of going to hell. And he set us on the rock. And he said, you're saved and you're on the way to heaven. And I've wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. Can I tell you, Jesus said, expedient that I go away. If I do not go away, I cannot prepare a mansion for you in heaven. He's got a mansion for you in heaven awaiting you. Listen, it's something to rejoice about. I know this world is not going the way you thought it would go, but God is still God. God is still saving. God is still providing. God is still healing. God is still loves you. God still provides for you. He is still helping you. He's still encouraging you. And he's still preparing a home for you in heaven. We got to rejoice. I said we got to rejoice. Unadulterated joy. I don't need no other element. Somebody said, well, when my car gets paid off, I'll rejoice. No, honey, you got that backwards. I said, you got that backwards. When God heals me, I'll rejoice. You got that backwards. I said, you got that backwards. What does faith say? Faith does not say after it's done. The healing and the feeling came after the believing and the speaking. You got to believe and speak first. Then you get the healing and the feeling. Somebody said, I don't feel good. Well, change your feeling. Somebody said, how you change your feeling? Well, by your choice. Somebody said, well, I just got up on the wrong side of bed. Well, go back to bed and roll over to get on the right side then. You know, I mean, it's a choice. We have grown accustomed to allow our flesh and our to dominate us and not allow the Spirit of God to dominate us. You choose what you want to do. You choose how you're going to be. My grandfather, he was in World War II, and he was a boxer in the Navy, and he was an alcoholic and most of his life. But once he got saved, the Lord saved him. The Lord delivered him. I mean, I'm talking about like that. And he transformed to a brand new species as never been before. I mean, my grandfather became a Holy Ghost man, and he started winning souls everywhere he went. He was a Cobb County heating air inspector. And so he worked in all the high-rise buildings in Atlanta. And I'll never forget when he was in his house, him and my grandmother, they were married 62 years before he passed away, went home to be with the Lord. And so I'll never forget, we come in the house, and me and my cousin, my granddad was hard to hear him because he was a gunner's mate on the ship in the World War II. And so he had hearing aids, and he eventually had to get a cochlear implant on the side of his head. So he couldn't hear really everything that was going on, but he could tell when somebody was fighting or fussing, you know, back and forth. And I'll never forget one day, me and my cousin was going back and forth because, you know, disagreement, praise the Lord, amen. And so my granddad said, hey, he did that right there. He said, hey, he couldn't understand everything. He said, I tell you what, right now, we will not have any animosity in this house. He said, you want to fuss, argue, fight? You go outside and y'all solve it, and then you come in here. You know why? Because he was setting the temperature for his house. He was not going to allow disagreement and discord and strife to disrupt the peace that him and my grandmother had created and prayed for and believed for and worked for in that house. Can I tell you, you choose if you want to rejoice. You choose if you want to cheer up. You choose if you want to smile and have a good day. Even if somebody pulls out in front of you in traffic, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. And let his praise continually be in his mouth. What does he say here? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When tests and trials come, guess what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. And see, you have to train yourself, because the moment that temptation comes, trials come, circumstances come, we say, oh my goodness. And then we start fretting and we go from faith to fear in a matter of split second. Why? Because we automatically think the negative. And can I tell you, God is not about the negative. God is positive. God is about multiplication, not subtraction. So you serve a good God. You serve a God that blesses you with benefits. All these benefits come with serving God. If he's given you benefits, he's given you salvation, he's given you healing, he's given provision, he's given you peace, he's given you joy, he's given you all these benefits, can I tell you, it's worth serving him over. Amen. I said, amen. Listen, the strongest act of faith, here's the strongest act of faith. You ready? The strongest act of faith is when you are in the middle of a trial, and instead of complaining about the trial, instead of fearing about the trial, instead of talking to somebody else how bad the trial is, you rejoice or shout right in the middle of the trial. Listen, there's two kinds of people, and I don't have time to, like I said, I'm trying to hitch and run, but there's Terry Trial, Brother Terry Trial over here, and then there's Brother Vic Victor over here, and they climbing up that mountain. Some of y'all young people don't know this song. On the rough side of the mountain, doing their very best just to make it in. That's what old Terry Test Trial, old Brother Terry, he said, I tell you what, this car, them missing two cylinders, had a flat tire, barely made it, didn't have enough gas, had to stop on the side of the road, fix the tire, fix the car, then I had to get somebody to bring me gas. I tell you, I just barely made it in. That's his perspective. He go over here and ask Brother Victor, and he say, how'd you make it, Brother Victor? Oh, I made it great. He said, I'm doing 80 miles an hour when I hit the bottom of that hill. And boy, I just coasted up that hill. He asked him, he said, well, I thought it was a mountain. He said, a mountain? Nah. He said, I was still going 55 by the time I got to that little bitty old hill. It was nothing. God brought me over that just fine. What's the story? The meaning of the story is you can be the downtrodden, you can be the depressed, the discouraging, and the person that always talks negative, or you can be over here and say, oh, this is nothing to God. This is nothing too hard for God. My God, if he's for me, who in the world can be against me? See, you got to build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, and you got to choose. Rejoice, rejoice, and be glad. Everything's going to be all right. Everybody say that. Say, everything is going to be all right. So I'm going to cheer up. Say, ha, 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 ha. Look at your neighbor and tell them, cheer up. Why? Because it's not worth being sad over. Amen. This is what you've got to do. You've got to make a choice to rejoice. I said, you've got to make a choice to rejoice. I said, you got to make a choice to rejoice. Come on, can I hear some rejoicers this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Rejoice. You got to open up your mouth. You got to rejoice in the Lord. You got to sing to Him and know that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. But guess what? The only way the joy of the Lord can be your strength is if you choose to rejoice. If you choose to cheer up. If you choose to be glad. It's your choice. The joy of the Lord can't be your strength if you don't choose to rejoice or choose joy. So somebody said, I don't have no strength. I don't know about this. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Praise the Lord. If you lost your job during COVID, praise the Lord. There's another one on the way better than what you had. More benefits, better pay, better vacation, better insurance, and better retirement. Somebody shout amen. See, it's all about perspective. You either see the glass half empty or you see the glass half full. It's all about how you see it. And you got to see it through God's side. Amen. Through the word side. Rejoice. I said rejoice. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I got to hurry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. If you got the Amplified. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everybody still with me today? Amen. Yes. Talking about rejoicing. You got to choose. You got to make that choice to rejoice. It's your choice. It's not the devil's choice. It's your choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this precious treasure. The good news about salvation is unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grander and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, His sufficiency, and not from ourselves. Verse 8, we are pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Watch what he says in verse 8. He said, we're pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unsure of finding a way out, but not driven to despair. Verse 9, hunted down and persecuted. Anybody ever been persecuted? Come on, just shout with me. Amen. But watch this. But not deserted or to stand alone. You're struck down, but you're never destroyed. Why? Because if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? Amen. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all about how you look at it. You're not going to be destroyed. Verse 13, yet we have the same spirit of faith as He had, who wrote in Scripture, I believe and therefore I speak. Somebody say amen. Amen. We also believe, so therefore we also speak. Verse 14, knowing that who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us along with you in His presence. Listen, the key to peace is not perfect circumstance. The key to joy is not perfect circumstance. There will never be a perfect circumstance. It doesn't matter how long you live, there will never be perfect circumstance. Well, when this lines up. Well, when this happens. Well, when that happens. Well, when this comes through. Listen, you'll never have peace and you'll never have joy. Well, praise the Lord. And watch this. Most Christians are living in despair. Most Christians are living upset. Most Christians are living also in anger and in depression. Now, let me just hit you and run. Watch this. Because here's the thing. A lot of people are trying to fulfill spiritual needs with physical things. And it will never, ever, 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 ever satisfy you. You can take as many pills as you want. You can drink as much as you want. You can go as far as you want to the right and try to fill it up with all physical things. You can make as much money as you want, have as many cars as you want, have as many houses as you want, have as many clothes as you want. You can have everything that you want, and it still will not fill the spiritual void in your life. The only way you'll fill that void is that spiritual void comes from God. It comes from the Word. It comes from a relationship to know that God is on your side, that God holds you in the palm of His hand, that God loves you enough to send His own Son to die for you, but He didn't leave Him in the grave. On the third and glorious day, He rose from the dead, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And He's praying for you and for me. Jesus is alive. That void in your life can only be filled spiritually. So if you're looking for a void to be filled, you'll find it in worship. You'll find it in the Word. But you'll find it in your choices. Choose to rejoice. Your circumstance will never be perfect. Never. You'll always have an opportunity to be upset. You know why? Because if the devil can keep you upset, then he keeps you from getting joyful and enjoying your life. Amen. If you're always frustrated, if you're always upset, if you're always mad, if you're always disgusted, if you're always troubled, there's something wrong. Not with them. Remember what your mama said? When you point your finger at them, there's three pointing back at you. So listen, the problem is not them. Quit worrying about the government. Well, praise the Lord. I went ahead and said it. Amen. Quit worrying about the government. Who cares? I don't care what they do. God is still on their throne. I'm going to vote the way I think I need to vote, and then I'm going to live the way God tells me to live. And I'm going to be taken care of. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No evil shall come nigh my dwelling. Somebody say amen. And so quit worrying about all them. That's right. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to leave. So I'm going to go ahead and say this. If you'll get off social media, you'll be happier too. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, faith is rejoicing. Listen. Faith is rejoicing when nothing is going good. Amen. Faith is rejoicing when nothing is going good. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I want you to look at this. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Watch what he says. Here's our greatest example. Here's our greatest example. And guess who it is? The only one that could ever be our example. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Jesus, the example. That's what it says in my Amplified Version. Jesus, the example. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight, and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. Here it is, verse 2. Looking away from all that will distract us. What do you need to do? Looking away from all that distracts you. The thief comes to do three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. Everything that distracts you keeps you from the Word, keeps you from joy, keeps you from peace, keeps you from faith, keeps you from worship, keeps you from church, keeps you from praying. The devil wants to distract you. The distraction is not bigger than your God. Your God is bigger than the distraction. So what's looking away from all that will distract us and focus our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity. Listen, who for the joy, Somebody shout joy. Watch what he says. Of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross. Watch this. Disregarding the shame. That's why I like the Amplified. So watch this. There was shame brought to Jesus, but he disregarded the shame and he looked into the future and he saw joy. He saw an overcomer. He disregarded the shame, watch what he said, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Listen, the joy that was set before him helped him endure the cross. So if the joy that was set before Jesus, that this is the will of God, that people are going to be saved and they're going to be set free and they're going to have access back to your heavenly Father, if you will endure the cross, the joy that was set before him, if Jesus endured the cross with the joy that was set before him, you and I know there's a mansion in heaven awaiting me and you. We've got to endure the cross, endure the test, endure the trial, because there's a joy set before us that we're doing the will of God. I'm going with God all the way. I'm choosing Jesus every day. I'm obeying the Spirit of the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The joy that was set before him, the true joy is doing what God tells you to do. Hear it and obey it. He said rejoice. Don't just hear it. He said rejoice. I said, he said rejoice. He said rejoice. See, that's what I'm saying. We can't just hear this. We must do this. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. When your dog's barking all night, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When your children won't listen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I rejoice in you. When they won't listen to you at work, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When your bill is more than what you thought it was going to be and you don't have enough money, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He's supplying all of my need. Come on, somebody. You got to choose to rejoice in every single circumstance. Listen, listen. You can't control what comes in you, you can control what comes in you. You can't control what's done to you. Let me say that again. You can control what comes in you. You can't control what's done to you. So watch. If somebody's doing something to you, even if they're 110% wrong, don't allow what's done to you to get in you. Jesus was on the cross and he didn't allow what they were doing to him to get in him. Because his final words, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He stayed with the choice. I'm obeying my Father. I'm obeying my Father. And he had you and you and you and you and you and you and me and all the whole world on his mind. If he allowed what was done to him to get in him, he would have not completed his work. Finished. It is finished. The complete work of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So listen, rejoice. Don't allow what is done to you. I know they might be telling lies on you. I know they might have done you harm. They might have hurt you like you've never been hurt before. Can I tell you right now, that's what the devil wants to do is cause division. And let me just throw this out there. We just got done with Valentine's Day. Marriage. Don't allow the devil to divide your marriage. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to get it and go. Amen. All right. Don't allow the devil to divide your marriage. Well, you said you was going to do. Well, you said, I don't know what we said. But praise the Lord, he'll try to cause distraction. And he'll cause friction. One will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. He knows you're better together. So listen, join hands if you're married. And all the time you need to say, I forgive you I don't know what you've done. I don't care what you've done. I forgive you. And the other spouse say, I forgive you. I release forgiveness to you. Why? David was a man after God's own heart. Why? He was quick to repent and quick to forgive. Can I tell you, be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Do not hold grudges. Do not. You can't rejoice if you got a grudge against somebody. You got to release it. You got to release it. The Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. Cast it on Him. Who cares what they've done to you? Live with Jesus. Allow Jesus to deal with them. You're not the Savior anyway. Amen. I said amen. Listen, the joy that Jesus seen was the strength that got Him through. Can I tell you, you need to see the joy that God's got for you. The joy is that you are walking in with Him and you're communing with Him. You're obeying Him. You're hearing from Him. And so in your obedience, you're going to hear those words one day. Thou good and faithful servant, welcome in. Amen. Welcome in. I'm not doing it for you. Praise the Lord. I'm helping my wife as best I can. I'm helping my children best I can. I'm trying to help you this morning best I can, but I'm not doing it for you. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm loving Jesus every day. I'm witnessing for Jesus every day. I'm doing what Jesus tells me to do every single day. Why? Because that's the joy. That's the joy. That's the purpose of my life. He gave me breath. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Why? He created me in His very own image. I'm not mine, but I am His. I'm His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so what is it for? The joy, the joy, the joy is to please the Father. The joy is to be obedient. The joy, as I lay my head down at night and I say, thank you, Jesus. I've done all that you asked me to do. Hallelujah. I can sleep in peace. I can sleep in peace and I can have the joy of the Lord in me. I choose to rejoice. Anybody with me? Can he say amen? Luke 6. Can I have just a few more minutes? I'm sorry. Listen, Luke 6:22. Luke 6. You got to see this. You got to see this. Luke 6. Everybody still with me? Amen. Rejoice. Somebody shout rejoice. Rejoice. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Praise. Come on, shout praise the Lord. Praise. Listen, you got to rejoice. You got to rejoice. You got to make a choice to rejoice. Luke 6:22. Blessed. Blessed. Somebody shout I'm blessed. Blessed. Listen. Listen to this. Blessed, morally courageous and spiritually alive with life, joy in God's goodness. Are you when people hate you? Yeah, that's why I thought it'd be quiet in here. Amen. I can tell you right now, somebody walked up to you right now and they say, I hate your guts. You're not going to say, well, praise the Lord. But guess what? The Word says you should. Well, hallelujah. It got quiet again. Amen. It said blessed. Blessed are you when people hate you. Now understand this. If you're doing something to them that causes them to hate you, then that's not blessed. Amen. Right. He's talking about by your faith in God. Amen. By you living for Jesus. You're going to make some people mad. And guess what? When they say, I can't stand you. You've just got too much joy. Don't try to convert them. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're taking care of me. They can't see what you've done for me. Listen, it's not for you to have to explain. I mean, yeah, you got a testimony, but it's not for you to have to explain to somebody why you're so happy. Amen. I was drinking coffee one morning. This guy said, why are you so happy? And I knew what he's trying to get at. I said, no, there ain't nothing in this cup besides coffee. Amen. I got a little creamer and sugar. There ain't nothing else in this cup. I said, you know why I'm happy? I did. I said, you know why I'm happy? He said, why? I said, because thank God Jesus woke me up this morning and He started me on my way. I got another day to live for Him. You know what he said? He looked at me, he goes, oh, well, I'm saved too. I was like, why are you asking me why I'm so happy? Because evidently you don't have what I have. Amen. Come on, somebody. But he said, blessed are those which will hate you and exclude you from their fellowship. If somebody don't invite you to eat, it's all right. Praise the Lord. If they don't invite you to their house, praise the Lord, move on down the road. Somebody else will. Quit getting so offended so easily. Yeah, hallelujah, amen. And insult you. How many has been insulted? Well, praise the Lord. you're blessed. And scorn your name as evil because of your association with the Son of Man. They'll talk about you because your relation with Jesus. Those Jesus freaks, those Holy Ghost people over there. Well, that's all right. Come over here and you'll become one of us. Amen? Because you'll get what we got and be happy like we're happy. Amen? And he said in verse 21, rejoice on that day and leap for joy. Listen, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely inexhaustible, for their fathers used to treat the prophets in the same way. So if they treat you bad, guess what? They treated them the same way. But what did he say to do? He said, rejoice and leap for joy. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. You ain't going to get nothing by sitting there doing nothing. So he said, rejoice and leap for joy. He said, rejoice. Rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he said, leap for joy. Come on, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Leap for joy. He said, leap for joy. See, you just thought you leaped in high school because you was playing basketball. No, no, no. You're leaping for joy. Hallelujah. I'm leaping for joy. It's a spiritual exercise. Hallelujah. I'm leaping for joy. Somebody say, my knees. No, praise the Lord. You're the healed of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say, my ankles. No, 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 no. You're the healed of the Lord. Amen.
Right.
If he said you could do it, you can do it. So somebody shout, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now let's leap.
Hallelujah.
For joy. Come on, one more time. One, two, three. Leap for joy. Amen. You might not get that height like you could but before, but praise the Lord. Leap anyway. Amen.
Amen.
So you got to leap for joy. I said leap for joy.
Amen.
You got to make a decision to rejoice. Sit down just for a second. 1 Samuel, can I have just one more time? Can I have it? Can I just 5 minutes? I'm sorry. I mean, I only get one service. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know if you don't trust me with two or what, but praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not mad. Praise the Lord. I'll go preach the rest of this to my wife when I get home. Praise the Lord. Amen. Rejoice. I said rejoice. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4. Watch what he says. Watch this story. Watch this story. I love this story. I'm going to show you something, then we're going to end. All right? Hang with me. Watch this story. You got to see this. You got to see this. If you got a Bible, or they can put it up here. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 4. And he's talking about here the story of how Samuel came into the world. Watch this. And we don't have any record of him doing wrong. Watch what. And there's two wives, one named Hannah and the other named Peninnah, however you say her name. Anyway, so verse 4, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions of the sacrificial meal to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and her daughters. Verse 5, but listen. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion because he loved Hannah, but the Lord had given her no children. Everybody say, no children.
No children.
Say it again. Say, no children.
No children.
Verse 6. Hannah's rival provoked her bitterly to irritate and embarrass her because the Lord had left her childless. Verse 7. So it happened year after year. Now I want you to get this. Hannah cried year after year, year after year. She didn't have a child. She was crying. She was upset. She was troubled. Get the picture? Amen. Year after year, she didn't have a child. Watch what he says. He said, when she went up to the house of the Lord, Peninnah provoked her, so she wept and would not eat because somebody was provoking her. Peninnah was provoking her, making her upset, making her angry, and she wouldn't even eat. Watch what happens. Verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you cry all the time? Why do you not eat? Why are you so sad and disconnected? And here's what he said, and he should not have said this. Amen. He said, ain't I better, this is Kegel vernacular, ain't I better than 10 sons? And you see, wives, your husband saying, ain't I better than 10 sons? Come on, somebody rejoice. Amen. He said, ain't I better than 10 sons? And I can just imagine it to Hannah. She said, get out right now before I knock you out. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we say in Georgia anyway. Get out before I knock you out. Amen. I'll repent later. Nah. But watch what happens. Verse 10. Hannah was greatly distressed. Everybody say distressed. She was sad. She was angry. She was upset. She was hungry because she didn't eat. And she had no children. And she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She made a vow saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction, the suffering of your maidservant, and remember and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. A razor shall never touch his head. Verse 12, now it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. Watch what he said. Hannah was speaking in her heart or her mind. Only her lips were moving and her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Verse 14. Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Get rid of your wine. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman with a despairing spirit. I have not been drinking wine or any intoxicating drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. And she said, do not regard your maidservant as a wicked and worthless woman. Now watch this. She identified herself. She's a wicked, worthless woman. She said, don't identify me that, even though I'm a wicked and worthless woman. She identified with this. This is the grief that she was in. A lot of us identify saying we're no good. We're not going to amount to anything. We'll never have a job. We'll never get enough money. We'll never achieve this. We'll never achieve that. Can I tell you, this is what Hannah was identifying with. Watch this. And he said, before I have spoken until now out of my great concern and bitter provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. Watch this. She took this as a word from God. Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. Hannah said, let your maidservant find grace and favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate. Watch this. She's eating again. And her face or her countenance was no longer sad. Watch this. Her countenance was no longer sad. Now, I got a question for you. Was it that as long as she was sad, that it kept being bad? Or was it as long as it kept being bad, she remained sad? But watch this. The moment that she said to herself, I'm not going to be sad no more. Now watch this. Let me ask you. Is she pregnant here? Is she got a baby yet here? Has she even had any signs of being pregnant with any children yet? So here's what she had to do. She had to change what she was first. So the moment that she said, I'm not going to deal with this sadness anymore. I'm done with grieving. I'm done with depression. I'm done with lack. I'm done with all this crying and this sadness. I'm done with this. I am no more sad. Two verses later, it said, came about due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Can I tell you, this is a word from God today. You have to be no more sad. You choose. I rejoice. You choose. I'm going to cheer up. You choose. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. You got to be happy, because the moment that you get rid of sadness is the moment that badness leaves too. And the moment that you choose to rejoice is the moment that good things start happening to you. It's all in your mind. Watch. It's in your mind. Everybody with me this morning. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. So watch. So let me do this. This is your mind, in case you need that. This is your mind. Paul Youngie Cho said this. He said that your speech center controls your whole nervous system. Your speech center, right here. Your speech center controls your whole nervous system. So what happens, whatever is in your mind eventually drops to your heart and then eventually comes out of your mouth. So whatever you think about the most affects you the most. Hannah thought about, I don't have no children. She's got children. She's making fun of me. She was sad, depressed, grieved all the days of her life. But the moment that she decided, it's a choice. Watch. So the speech center controls your whole nervous center. So watch this. So over here, you got a foreman. Watch this. Over here, you got a foreman. Watch. So the moment that you say something out of your mouth, you say, I can't believe this is happening to me, is the moment that your mind told your mouth what to say. And you spoke negative. Your speech center controls your whole nervous center. So this is not physically, you can't see this happening, but this is really what happens. So the moment that you speak out of your mouth, if it's negative, then this bad foreman tells all his little workers down here, okay, they're complaining because it's snowing this morning. They're complaining that it's 6 degrees this morning. They're complaining because their car is out of gas, and they're complaining that you know, they got this meeting today. So therefore, you need to line up their body so that everything negative will go on in their life today. But the moment that you rejoice in the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he said, when you get up in the morning, Smith Wigglesworth said, for the first 30 minutes, as soon as his feet hit the ground, he starts saying, thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. I choose to
rejoice.
I choose to
rejoice.
I choose to
rejoice.
And be glad in it. I don't care what I have to do today. 6 degrees, 106 degrees. I'm going about with the Lord. If God be for me, who in the world can be against me? This is the day the favor of the Lord surrounds me like a shield. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. Everything I put my hands to is blessed. So you say that. So the good foreman tells all his little workers, all right, they're having a good day. So I need you to go and make sure that they feel like they're having a good day. Watch. The Bible says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine. Scientists have proven, Paul Young and Joe says this, your speech center controls the whole nervous system. Scientists have proven that they try to get people before they go into surgery to think good and think successful. Because how they think before they go under and go into surgery depends on if it goes good or if there's some interruptions or if there's some problems or if there's some difficulties. And then it also comes with the recovery. So the Bible also says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what are you thinking about? Rejoice. I'm telling you, you got to make a choice to rejoice. Everything is going to go wrong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Your car ain't going to crank one day. Praise the Lord. It's just the battery. Just go get a new one. They'll put it in at Auto Parts, Advanced Auto Parts in Georgia, AutoZone, whatever you got here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Walmart, whatever you want to go to. They'll put it in for you. Hallelujah, it's all right. Well, you don't know, it just run me late. Praise the Lord. There was an accident if you'd have been on time. But you avoided that accident. See, we think of it all as negative. And it's not negative. If God's working things out for you is what it is. So I'm here to tell you today, rejoice. It's an act. It's a choice. You choose. When everybody's coming against you, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Stand on your feet. Stay on your feet. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I said, praise the Lord. And then what? Do it again. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is working everything out for my good. Hallelujah. He's on my side. I'm on His side. Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Come on, leap one more time. Hallelujah. He's healing my body. He's paying my bills off. You, if you believe this confession, He's paying your debts off. Come on, somebody. I mean, I didn't even get you to tell you my testimonies. I mean, I'm just so full. Listen, can I tell you real quick? I'm sorry. I really am. I got to give it to you because I want to encourage you. Amen. Because listen, I can't preach this stuff and not live this. I have to live this as well. So COVID hit March 8th. I preached in Nashville, Tennessee. That was my last time preaching. Country shut down. Everybody calling, cancel, 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 cancel. I did not preach again to youth camp. July 4th. Week. March 8th to July 4th. Didn't preach. Said to my family. So watch. I had no income. My wife was working, but I had no income. Cool, we got some monthly supporters, but praise the Lord, I couldn't go preach and make my major income that I usually bring in. And so I had called a friend and I asked him, could I help him work? Just to let you know what kind of work it was, and I pray I never had to go do it again, was pressure washing. I found out I was not in shape. Amen. But watch this. From March 8th to July 4th, I have no idea. You can ask my wife, you can call her today. I had no idea how this happened. From March 8th to July 4th, I wasn't preaching, wasn't making the money I was making. But somehow, some way, we paid off every bill that we had except our house. Somehow, some way. And you don't even understand how free that is right now. I mean, all we owe is on our house. Hallelujah. I'm not under bondage. Hallelujah. And I'm getting to where I know owe no man nothing but to love Him. Hallelujah. Totally debt free. Amen. I said totally debt free. Hallelujah. And so that's the first thing. And what you want to understand is in the midst of working with that guy, a friend of mine, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I never saw this coming. I don't understand. The church is closed. I can't go travel and preach. We can't win the lost. Like I just don't understand this. And so I was becoming disgruntled that I was working that job. But I had my earbuds in. And I was listening to preaching. I was listening to praise and worship. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. He said, what would you do if I provided everything for you right now? I said, I'd rejoice. He said, well, won't you go ahead and do it? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And so by faith, as I was using that pressure washer, I'm just telling you, I was rejoicing. And I got so happy, I might have shouted. I don't know if they heard me or not. The machine's pretty loud, but I had my earbuds in. I didn't care who heard me. Amen. And so I got free. It didn't matter what happened. I knew the Lord going to take care of me and my family. So watch this. We get through that. We start traveling again in July. Not full force, but traveling at least some. And then at the end of August, 1st September, all of a sudden my wife calls me. And I'm still working this little job because, you know, trying to help. And so she calls me. And I'm on this job. She said, Jody, I'm in so much pain. I can't even get to the hospital. She said, I'm going to try to drive to urgent care. And I said, all right. I said, listen, if you can't, don't risk your life. I said, wait on me. I'm coming. And so he took me to urgent care to meet her. They said, man, we got to rush you to the emergency room. What you don't understand, my wife is a nurse. So she knows if she's in that much pain, something is wrong. So anyway, long story short, we drove her to the hospital she works at. Come to find out, she had gallstones. Not only did she have gallstones, but there was a gallstone in her duct that went from her, whatever it's called, the pancreas, down to the gallbladder. So the duct was stopped up with a gallstone. Then the gallbladder was full of gallstones. And so she went in the hospital on a Friday. She had a surgery on Saturday to remove that one that stopped up. And then she had to go back under Sunday and remove the whole gallbladder. So here I am just praising God. Just got back to preaching. Hallelujah. And now $91,000 medical bill comes in. Hallelujah. Thank God for insurance though. Amen. But we still had to pay some. Hallelujah. But it's gone and it's paid for. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so what'd the devil say? On a Sunday, my wife's under the knife and she's getting her gallbladder took out. And on a Sunday, I'm sitting there in the room by myself and she's gone to surgery. And the devil said, yeah, you might have come over that COVID thing and you might have rejoiced through that. But now I got you because now your wife's sick. Now you can't go preach. And now it's going to cost you all this money. And listen, I had to sit back and I had to say, you are a liar. You are under my feet. I choose to rejoice. And I rejoiced through that. Guess what? She's just fine now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They told her she's going to have all these side effects. She ain't had one side effect. She can eat anything she wants. She can do whatever she wants. She ain't got no side effects. She's the healed of the Lord. Amen. And then this doctor called in October and said, hey, when's the last time you had a checkup? She said, long time. He said, why? She said, there ain't nothing wrong with me. And he said, oh, no, you need to come in to female doctor and you need to have a checkup on everything. And she was like, for what? There's nothing wrong with me. I just got done with gallbladder surgery. There's nothing wrong with me. He said, yo, but you need to come in for a check. So this was 1st of November. Come on, somebody. So she goes in and they do all these scans and they did a scan on her breast and they called us the next week at home. And they said, listen, Miss Cagle, we need to set you up with a cancer specialist because we see 3 lumps in the left breast. So we need to get you an appointment. And so all of a sudden, she drops from faith to fear. Come on, somebody. Because the report of man, the report of doctor. Come on. When the trials come, what do you got to do? You got to rejoice. And so I said, the devil is a liar. I said, no, ma'am, you are just fine. I said, there's some extra tissue in there somewhere, or maybe something got crumpled up in there and that test just didn't come out right. Something, whatever happened. I don't care what happened. Something happened and they reading it wrong. That's what I said. She called her mom and dad to pray for her and to plead the blood of Jesus over her. And I said, you're going to be just fine. They called back the next week and they gave her appointment time. She went into the cancer center. I couldn't go in there, but as she went into the cancer center, this is what she said. She called me from the room in there and she said, Jody, I just don't like this. She said, I don't want to be labeled as this. She said, I'm not against anybody that's had to go through this. She said, God bless them. She said, but I don't want to be labeled as a cancer patient. I said, listen, you don't have to be labeled as a cancer patient. You can be labeled as a healed patient, as the Almighty God patient. Amen. And that you're cancer-free patient. Amen. Hallelujah. And she said, when she came back there and grabbed my wife, she said, when we take you back for this test, we'll be tell immediately if it's cancerous or not. So they took her back there and they brought her back into her room and they said, Miss Cagle, they said, we've done that test and we looked at those 3 knots and there's nothing absolutely wrong with you. We'll see you in a year. Rejoice! I said rejoice! When the doctor says it looks bad, rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because that will get you through. You got to have the joy that is set before you in your gaze. And you got to say in your mind, you got to think right, and you got to speak right, and you got to say, we are the healed of the Lord. No sickness, no evil shall come nigh my dwelling. In the name of Jesus, you got to choose to rejoice. I said, choose to rejoice. Here's what I know. As many tests and trials as you went through in 2020, right before the greatest breakthrough come the greatest trials. So guess what 2021 is going to be? The greatest breakthroughs, the greatest healings, the greatest provisions, the greatest manifestations of the Spirit. Hallelujah! Rejoice! Rejoice! Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.